Yes, well, I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I also send greetings from the Congregation in Liberty, and of course, I met Brother Sean. I've known him very well. I know many of you. Also, it's been, maybe six and a half years since I came, and it was a lot smaller congregation that time, and I just pray God's blessing upon you all. And, I just want to also extend a personal appreciation for y'all allowing Brother Sean to be able to, go serve there in Turkey. He was a blessing to me. He was a blessing to the work there and to many people. And, just continue to pray for him and pray for the work there. He's planning on leaving this week. And that was what wanted to bring me down, or that's what brought us down this weekend, just to be able to see him off. And, be able to see him before he goes. So why don't we, if possible, kneel for prayer? Yes, our Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We just thank you for your word, for your truth. And, Lord, even in this famine land, Lord, we have water that's from thy word, and living water that's able to spring from our bellies and flow. And Lord, we just pray, even today, that you would just fill me, that you would help every brother and sister here, that we could grow up in grace, that we could be strong for you in these days. Lord, just give us wisdom, give us courage, Lord, give us all that we need. We thank you for the household of saints. We just desire that you would help us to be what you desire, Lord, what your image and what your intended purposes are, oh God. And Lord, just guide us today. Just pray your blessing, Lord, to be upon your word and be effectual in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to write two words. Spies, and another one. I'll write two words with this. Remember, or I'll put in parentheses, forget or forgot or forgat are the three ways it's written. Probably forgotten also, but these are connected. Of course, remember and forget, sometimes when it gives the idea of remembering in the Bible, it'll use to not forget, but it's implying to remember. And despise, and these are two words that, as we read in our King James, have slightly shifted their meanings in 2023. For example, despise, when we think of despise, typically we think of hating something, or just, it's disgusting. We don't have anything to do with it. But in the Bible, most of the time, maybe every time, but I think there is a few times it does have a little bit of a stronger, abominable type view. But typically, the word despise means to think little of, to not give proper worth to give little value. It doesn't necessarily mean that you despise it, hate it, it's just you kind of ignore it, or you don't consider it valuable. And then we can see how that word through time changed to the way we use it today. But that was more of the original English meaning. And then the word remember is not just, somebody asks you, hey, do you know Joseph Lee? Yeah, I remember him. But many times the word remember in the Bible is to live in a constant state of mind where you are aware of that. What you do is in light of this reality when it talks about remembering the Lord. A lot of it would be, I grew up in South Alabama. One thing that I was told a lot when I would go, let's say I'm going to school, my parents would say, mind your teacher. You know, they would say, mind, you know, you mind us. That was a very common concept. And the thing is, keep what we want of you in your mind. You know, when you make a decision, think, would my mother, would my teacher want this to happen? And so the concept of minding something would also be very much the way, or the way we would have used mind, would be very much the way remember is used in the Bible. So those are the two. I wanted to establish definitions of what I'm referring to. So why don't we start in Psalms 106. So we're thinking on the concept of despising or remembering. Despising or remembering. Thinking little of or keeping in our mind or placing value on. Psalms 106. Of course, this is a very powerful chapter going over the history of the nation of Israel when they rebelled against the Lord in their early existence as a nation, when they were in the wilderness. Some of those things. But it says in verse 25, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. We're starting at verse 20. It says, when it talks about they made the calf in Horeb and worshiped the molten image, in verse 19 and verse 20 says, thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forget God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them not, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. So here we see both. They forgot the Lord. Does that mean that if somebody were to say, hey, do you know who Jehovah God is? That they would say, who's that? No, I'd say they knew very well if somebody were to bring that up to them. They understood who Jehovah was. They knew the stories. They were either that present generation or the children of that generation. They knew that. But they did not keep him before their mind. They did not think when that golden calf, whenever Moses went up on the mountain, and then they said to Aaron, make us gods to lead us. And then they made the golden calf and brought it out of the furnace. And then he said these are the gods which led thee out of Egypt. They would have understood who Jehovah was, but they did not think, is this what God wants? Is this what Jehovah wants at this moment? They did not retain God in their constant knowledge and in their thinking processes. So it said that they forgot God, which he had done great things in Egypt. And a big key to remembering God is to remember what he's done for us. You know, to remember the cross, to keep the cross ever before our minds. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I will glory only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what that is saying is, I will place continual value on that. That is going to ever be before my eyes. But it says that they did not, that they forgot God, their Savior, things he had done in Egypt. And then it goes on in verse 24, yea, they despise the pleasant land, and they believe not his word. You know, did they despise it thinking, oh, that land's disgusting? No. They thought, well, you know what? That land's going to be difficult to get to. I don't know if it's worth all the difficulties that we're going to have to go through to get there. Why don't we just let it be? Let's just go back to Egypt. there we had garlics and all kinds of good things. They didn't give the land that God promised proper value. And I think, you know, many times we ponder situations that we've seen people leave the Lord, and we see people turning away from things that they once held value by the Word of God, and they believe this Scripture was clear, and then all of a sudden later, you see them and they're, yeah, well that, you know, it could mean that, it could mean this. And we wonder, what happened? What happened? Well, what happened is this. They started despising the Lord. They started despising the commandments of God and thinking little of them. They weren't as valued. They did not place the value that they should have. You know, it says in Psalm 103, just in my Bible, one page back, very common verse. In verse 2 it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." I think it is good. You know, I had a young man that was working with me recently that had began to come to the Lord, went back out into the world, and then desired to come back and come back to the Lord. So he came back to our community again. He was just really struggling. He kind of was doing it just to try to please his father. And didn't really want to come back. He knew he needed to, but inside he didn't really want to. So he was kind of wrestling and just had a bad attitude, just complaining about things and just wrestling within and expressing his wrestling, which is good in one sense, but another sense having a very bad attitude about it. And I just I started singing to him, "Count your blessings, name them one by one." And he didn't want to hear it at that moment. But then the next day when I was driving off from work, he started singing that to me. But I think it's important that we are intentional about counting our blessings, pondering what God has done for us in our life. You know, many times, where does wormwood and gall come from? Where does bitterness come from in our soul? From not pondering the benefits that God has brought into our life by serving Him. And where we see lacks of benefits, many times it's because of our lack of serving Him one way or the other. And that's where we somehow we're not lining up with the ways that He established in His Word in our lives. But there's many benefits in serving the Lord, and we don't need to despise those benefits. We don't need to think of them little. We need to continually place high value on them and remember God in our daily life. So with this concept, I want to think about how to remember and not despise God Himself and His ways, and also to remember and not despise our brethren in the Lord. I feel like those two things, you know, we face difficulties in life. And when we face difficulties, those are the two areas that many times get directly attacked. And we constantly face that in our life. And I think we do good to just settle those two areas in our heart. That whatever we go through, we're going to be intentional about placing value on God and what He's done and what He will do, His promises. You know, they're the children of Israel. They both did not value, they forgot what God had done, and they despised the promised land that He promised to come. You know, it went two ways. And in the same way, many times, because of problems that come, maybe in the past with the Lord or with brethren, they begin to forget the good things. They begin to forget the blessings and the sacrifices that have been made on their behalf by God and also by the brethren. Then they also forget the promise and blessing of future hope. And they despise that. They think little of it. Their present difficulties overtake them because they do not remember and they begin to despise. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 1. For many of us, these are very common verses. But these verses, as we all know, Romans chapter 1 gives a very clear picture of people in a path away from God, departing from God. Let's first start in verse 28, and then we'll go a little further back. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," that is, to remember God, "they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Now we say these are horrible things. You know, when God made mankind upright, the scripture says, He made him in the image of himself. How could someone that is made in the image of God turn into one that has pleasure in doing these things? How could that happen? Well, we all understand the fall and the theology of the fall, and that affects mankind unto this day. But you know, there's also choices that get made. There's also an intentional rejecting of light from those that have been taught the light, those that understand it, that bring them to the place that they do these things where they're filled with all unrighteousness. And they delight in it. They think it's okay. They think it's good. And they even want to tempt others to do the same. How do you get to that place? You know, it says before they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know, when I talked about my mother saying, "You mind your daddy and mama when you go with your friends tonight. You mind them." Meaning, act as though they would be there when you go. You know, that is the way that you begin. But when I began to not want to retain my mother, my father, my knowledge, I get them out of there. That's what people begin to do. Let's go to verse 21. It says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So here we see that there was a time that these people that he's talking about here knew God, but they did not glorify Him as God. What does that mean? They began to despise God. They began to place little worth on God, not understand His greatness, Him being their Creator, Him being the one that they're going to answer to in the last day, Him being the one that's able to bring all blessing and benefit into their life. They began, and also the all-wise God that made the way that we should live, if we live according to His ways, the blessing that it brings. They began to think, to despise God, think little of God. And then professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's what many of us have experienced in our own lives when we begin to try to justify sin. And we see the path that it takes us. And we see that in the world all around us. and the importance to continually understand who God is and to glorify Him as that and to submit to that and to be content there and to place high value on that. I think it's very important that we do that ourselves. Now let's go to Psalm 78. Let's go back to Psalms. And it's important that we also pass that on to future generations. You know what? When I was growing up, I had high value on football, sports, various things. Why is that? That's what our big people, you could say, are the adults that I was around talked a lot about. That's what they valued. Here in Psalm 78, 1 through 8, it says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will utter my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done." What are they saying? We're going to help these coming generations remember the Lord. I'm going to help them. We're not going to hide His testimonies from them. Now in verse 5 it says, "For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." You know, here we see a connection there. Not forget God, but keep His commandments. You know, the best way, for example, let's say the best way to memorize Scripture, okay, it's important, I think, to sit down and intentionally memorize Scripture, you know, to repeat it, maybe, you know, get a section, repeat it three times, and then go to the next section, repeat it three times, go to the next section, repeat it three times, try to say it over. All that, I think that's a good exercise to memorize Scripture. I'm for that. But I'll tell you, the best way to memorize Scripture is when you read it. Right here it says, "I will open my mouth in a parable," and it says, "We'll not hide them from our children." I'm going to start saying the works of God to my children more. I'm going to start telling the stories of the Old Testament. I'm going to start telling the miracles of Jesus. I'm going to sit them down in the evening when we sit around and just start saying, "Hey, girls, do y'all know the story of whenever Jesus healed the blind man by the temple or you know, whatever, for example." When we put that to practice, when we obey that, we'll remember this verse. When we obey it. Because it becomes a part of our life. But if we just... We know somewhere in Psalms back there, yeah, I memorized this Psalm 78 one time. It says really good. I forget exactly what it says, but it says to tell your children who would tell the next generation to tell the next generation. Years ago, I had it memorized, but it was a really good passage. But when you are constantly doing it, it's coming to your mind. And then when you talk about it, because you're doing it, then you'll talk about it. Then it'll come out. And that's a big way that I'm not one that has memorized a lot of Scripture. Some of our brothers, you know, Abner Showalter, James Shirk, different people have memorized large portions of Scripture in their youth. But I do know where a decent amount are, and the way that I do know that is because of that principle. It's because I would think about it, I would talk about it, because I was obeying it, or I was endeavoring to, and then I would think about it. And I found that that is a big way to know Scripture. But it says here that they, and one thing with that about not hiding what God has done, you know, there in Turkey, and I'd say Brother Sean probably can express the same amazement. It is amazing how many people know
a multitude of stories from the Hadith, which is kind of like early church writings for the Muslims. It's, the writings of Muhammad. And, you know, they can tell story after story after story after story of all kinds of stories that have simply came from what their fathers were told of their fathers, and then their fathers told them. And they know story after story after story. And they can sit down and talk for hours about stories. And that comes by placing a value on that and the importance of wanting to pass that on. And it began to challenge me. You know, can I even tell basic stories in the Bible without stuttering around and trying to, you know, can I say it chronologically in a correct way and say an inspiring way and to get the lesson from it and say it from start to finish in a way that it entails the story well? I realize I'm pretty lax on that. But they do that very well, and the reason is they do that, they choose to do that from when the child is little on up. They sit around and talk about these things, and it doesn't matter if they've heard the story 20 times, they still enjoy talking about it. I think that's how we should be with the Word of God. But then it says here that they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And I just want to put those two together in our minds. Many times, the not retaining God in their knowledge, how they get from a people that know God, that worship Him as God, to doing all those abominations that we read, is they stop obeying Him because they're despising Him, they're thinking little of Him, and then as it goes, they start forgetting what He said. They start forgetting. Whereas, as you obey it every day, and I know there's some that may wear a head covering and may not know where it's at in the Bible. I understand there's those exceptions. But for the most part, when every day you rise up and you put a head covering on, it keeps a constant memory in your mind, 1 Corinthians 11, what it says there. And it stays stamped in your mind. And that's how all of life should be. When somebody says a questionable joke, and you're there, and you know the Bible says, "Not let there be coarse jesting among you." I shouldn't laugh at that. But if you just, it's not that big of a deal, you know, and then you just do it, eventually that verse is going to become unclear to you. What does that really mean? And then you'll lose it. But it's sharp in your mind when you retain obedience to it. Okay, keep God's commands. Okay, now let's go on to Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 9. This also will express a similar idea. Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 9. It says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgments which I teach, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, for all the men that followed Baal Peor, and the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye did cleave unto the Lord your God, but ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you the statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great people is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eye have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart in all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So here we see two things: is to take diligence to yourself to keep it. By doing that, if you don't do that, they'll depart from you. And then also teaching them to your sons, to their sons, to thy sons' sons. So we see those two concepts: not forgetting the Lord. And then a lot of this is teaching them to not despise the commandments of God, not despise what God has done. Hold it highly and remember it in your life. And you know, when we are busy in life, pressures of life come, you know, it's easy, and we're living in this world where people value things that are going to stay in this world. It's easy to begin to take on the values that this world would have us to take on. And by doing that, we're trading the values that God would have us to hold to, and the values that are actually going to endure through eternal life and are going to pass through the fire. And yeah, there's a lot that could be said on that. But I just think, you know, from in the morning when we get up, dress ourselves, to the evening when we put on our night clothes and go to bed, throughout our day, do we make conscious decisions that I do this because the Bible says thus and thus? I do this because the Bible says, you know, I go, let's say I work, you know, right now I work at the pallet mill there, Pallets Plus, and we get paid by the hour. Okay, when I work mini barns, we got paid by the piece, you know, paid by, you know, piecework, paid by how many barns we built. Well, now we get paid by the hour. You know, the scripture teaches to obey not just with eye service. You know, that means just when the boss is looking. You know, and we work many times with teams, and I get talking. You know, I'm a talker, and I get excited there, and we're sharing things and talking about different things. And I enjoy the brothers we work with. We have a lot of good spiritual brothers that we're able to talk about things and fellowship. But I have to remember, I need to benefit the business here. I need to be productive. I need to keep working. Because if the boss comes around, I notice I kind of naturally, you know, just, you know, get a little, you know, get making the pallets a little faster and look around. Well, that's what the scripture teaches me not to do. I don't need to just work with eye service, you know, just when he's looking at me. But I need to do it as unto the Lord, who's always watching. And you know, those kind of principles, do we think that way, or do we think it's not a big deal, you know? You know, we kind of view that, yeah, the Bible says that, but, you know, whenever we begin to think that way, or we just think, you know, it's not a big deal, and we have some philosophy about why it's not that big of a deal, we're beginning to depart. We're not retaining God in our knowledge, and we're beginning to despise God, is what's happening. You know, when something happens that doesn't go my way, the attitude I express with, am I remembering what God said in the way I respond? And okay, there's a lot that could be said. Okay, now I want to go to the concept of, do we despise our brethren? Do we despise our brethren? You know, we could say, well, I never despise God. But the Bible also says, if we do not love our brethren whom we can see, how can we love God whom we can't see? So to have a pietistic, pie-in-the-sky faith that does not have a reality in our relating in the brothers that we are in regular communion with, you know, if there's not a reality of practicing the Word of God there, it has very little value. First, I want to present the concept of the ordained brethren, the ones that are chosen out from among us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Remember, we're thinking of the concept of remembering or despising. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Here there's two mind words. There's remember and consider. Those are two things that we do with our mind, that we put our mind to exercise to do. It says to remember them which have the rule over you, your elders, as we say, your pastors. Remember them. Keep them in mind. Be aware of how what we do will affect them in their labor in the Lord. And it says, remember them who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Think about the way they pattern their lives. Think about the way the end of their conversation. What does that mean? What does conversation mean? It means their conduct, their manner of life. To consider that and think upon that and to ponder, how am I honoring that example? Or am I despising that example? You know, he's just a brother. In one sense, that's true. He's just a brother. It's good to think he's just a brother at times he makes mistakes. You know, in the sense that, you know, many times, you know, we'll think he's just a brother at the time whenever we're needing to try to work through issues sometimes. But then we'll think, you know, he should really be the perfect example when he makes mistakes. You know, it's like then he needs to be above a brother at that time. You know, he's not measuring up. Well, but the reality is he was chosen from among the brethren to be an example and to lead out. It's important that we remember him, or that we remember them in the Lord. So how are we doing that? Do we have a despising attitude? When they have a problem with something, when they address us, they want to talk with us about an issue, do we remember them? Do we consider the end of their conversation? Or do we have a despising attitude of who do they think they are attitude? Is it easy for them to do their responsibilities, their God-given responsibilities? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's another concept down the same lines. You know, whenever, and these things are also connected to our value of God. Whenever, you know, it's as much as a child. When a child, many times, what is the most talked about verse in in children's lesson? You know, children, obey your parents in the Lord. I mean, that, you know, that is the verse for children. You know, you may say different verses. You might talk about have faith in God. You might talk about fear not. And, you know, there might be different verses. But through time, over and over again, there's going to be the verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And why is that? Because that is God's commandment for them. And in the same way, when we depart from these principles, there's a measure in which we're departing from God's ways. Here in 1 Thessalonians, and you know, we tend, because we've seen abuses, we've seen problems, we tend to push these verses kind of out of the way, because if we really take them too serious, you know, it'll create other problems. Well, when that time comes, we'll worry about it. But we need to aim towards what is the ideal that the Bible teaches. That's what we need to aim towards. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 through 13, it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." So he's giving a beseeching. And one of the things is to know them which labor among you. You know, many times, I think especially, if I can talk to the young people, I think many times young people have a difficulty with a decision that maybe the ministry is leading out and making, and maybe brothers also, you know, general brothers could also, but many times young people, and one of the reasons that I've found is they don't really know their elders. They don't really spend time with them and understand their thought patterns, understand why there's this concern. And they just immediately look at this situation from their own experience and their own eyes. But it's important to know those which labor among you. Try to spend time with them. Try to understand their way of thinking. Understand their viewpoint. Understand their convictions. Understand how they view scriptures and how they seek to lead their life in godliness. So it says to know them. Another way that this is in the Turkish Bible, it says the idea to know their worth, to know their value. Those that labor among you know their value. And you know, I think of, you know, in the Protestant settings, elders are paid, you know, or pastors, you know, they just get paid and it's a job to them, you know, but, you know, in our settings, and I think it's right, I think it's good, this is a volunteer work. They are taking time to counsel. They're not getting a dime for this. They prepare sermons. They pray. They labor over. They try to ponder what is the path that we are going, and they try to help it. It's important to esteem them very highly for their work's sake rather than despising. You know, it says different times whenever the apostles, they said a word, and they said, if any man despise this word, they despise God. You know, we can sometimes by our attitude, we can show that we are despising God. Now, to be able to communicate, to talk when you have struggles, to try to understand each other is good. I think that's important. You know, if you have something that you want to talk with your elders, I'm not saying to have an admiration that you don't, you know, you can't be honest about struggles and things. That's one thing. But at the same time, not to give in to the spirit of our day, which says anybody that tries to do anything that would hinder my selfish self, they got a problem. They need to get out of my way. You know, not having that kind of attitude, but having an esteem rather than an esteem for ourselves, to esteem our brother higher than ourselves in general, and also those that are ordained among us for the work of the ministry. So I think that is a very important principle in not despising, but remembering our brethren. Okay. Now I'm going to go to just brotherhood in general, you know, and of course this also includes our ordained brother. There's special verses that address them because of their position, because of their work. But then this also just includes brothers as a whole, to despise our brothers. You know, in Romans chapter 14, I guess we can go there, just a quick verse. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Not going to teach that whole chapter. It would be a good study, this concept. But one of the things it says in verse 10, it says, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? That word set at naught can also be to despise thy brother. You know, and that doesn't mean we always agree with everything about our brother. That doesn't mean even at times our differences, if we're not willing to bend from one way or the other, that they can always be reconciled. But at the same time, what this does mean, we always consider them valuable. And that's the root of it. Okay, I'm not thinking anything beyond that. I'm thinking the fact of intentional, in our heart, I'm going to intentionally set value on this brother. You know, years ago, I shared a message, you know, there at Liberty, we would have a number of non-plain background people. We have, you know, the majority plain background, but we probably have maybe five or six or a few more non-plane background families, or people that maybe one of the spouses would be non-plane and non-plane background. And you know, what can happen many times in that thing is there can become this plane, non-plane battle. You know, the church feels this issue is important. I don't think that way. Even some of my non-plane brothers, they might be on the side of thinking that that issue is important, but I still think this is just a plain background issue. You know, that's why they have an issue with this. It's because of their background. Or vice versa, maybe somebody from a non-plane background, they have an issue with this thing. Well, the reason why they have the issue with that is because they come from non-plane background, and you know, everybody that comes through non-plane background kind of has an issue with that. You know, and it becomes the battle, what I titled a message, the battle of backgrounds. Instead of valuing our brother, this is what my brother is saying. He's got this concern, or this group of brothers has this concern. Let me hear what they have to say. Let me try to understand them instead of writing it off. This is a background issue. He's just unconsciously following the whims of his background without even thinking. This brother doesn't really have any thoughts, any will of his own. He just kind of subconsciously will go with his background. Well, no, all of our brothers in our congregation, unless the ones that grew up in our setting that have been married, they all changed from their background. They made decisions. They made conscious decisions to stop doing some things, to start doing some things. And they are where they are because they made decisions to want to serve the Lord in certain capacities that they were not able to before. So therefore, if they were just a robot that's kind of following their background, well, they wouldn't be where they're at today. So the point that I'm making is there's a reason why they have this value. Why is that? Can I at least before, at the beginning, approach him as a brother and esteem him highly, try to understand what he's saying, even if I'm not agreeing with it at the moment, but I want to try to understand what he's saying. I think that that has a lot to do with not despising our brother. You know, setting our brother at naught, when we say that kind of thing, I think that's what we're doing. We're despising. We're thinking, well, this brother, you know, at the end of the day, what we're really saying is he's dumb. You know, he can't think beyond his background. He doesn't have any perspective of anything. That's really what we're saying. So I think it's important. And just because it is an influence of his background doesn't mean that's wrong. You know, if somebody comes from a certain background, whether it's a non-plane setting, that they might have had some values with the way they grew up that they want to hold on to and they're concerned about this. And then maybe somebody from a plane background has those values too. And it's important that, if it goes, let's say we make 10 decisions, for example. 10 decisions, out of 10 decisions, 9 go more the plane background perspective of things, or 9 go the non-plane background. It's not an issue of background. It's what are these brothers saying? How can we value each other and work together through this? That's what's important. Instead of setting our brother at naught, you know, it's not a, what I'm saying is not a fair thing too. Hey, you know, we made 2 non-plane background decisions. We got to make 2 plane background. You know, we made. Okay. So it's important from both sides that we try to hear each other and not have the battle of backgrounds and not despise our brothers. But remember our brothers. Remember the sacrifices they made for the Lord. Remember how God has worked in their life. Remember the way that they have blessed us and we've been benefited by their ministry in the Lord and their admonishings and teachings and all those things and their example and testimony. We need to remember those things when we begin to have issue with somebody or begin to talk about something. And, you know, one of the things I think about remembering, you know, some of the thoughts that got me thinking about this subject, not despising, was thinking of some of the things trying to work through there in Turkey from afar, and Brother Sean going there, and Brother Sean does very well at this. But, you know, let's say our family, for example, they rise up. You know, I see my family every day. I see my children every day, you know. What are one of the ways we don't despise our children? When they rise up, good morning, did you sleep good? Or is it just like, and then keep reading your Bible in the morning. You know, you don't talk to each other. It's just, but placing continual value, intentionally talking to, intentionally trying to remember them, consider them, not despising them and thinking, oh, well, that's just my sister. That's just my brother. And in the same way in the church, when we see each other, you know, one thing I really like about Brother Claire there in Turkey, every time he sees Brother Colby, you know, and he just is excited and he greets you and, you know, he was just excited to see every, I mean, we saw each other constantly, you know, many times daily, if not, you know, every other day we saw each other, talked to each other. Our life was constantly wrapped up in each other. As I said, brotherhood on steroids there in Turkey. But he was a constantly esteeming others higher than himself. And it plays out in some of those practical areas that, you know, many times when we begin to have relationship struggles and difficulties, it's because deep down within, we're not placing proper value on them. Somewhere we're beginning to despise. And they might not sense it keenly, but it affects the way they relate to you too. They may sense it keenly. They may think, you know, you don't value me. But even if they don't, it affects how free the relationship is. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Very common passage. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 23-25. It says, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for faithful is he that promised us. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So here we have the admonition to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And of course, this is an example of those who are not doing that today. They're intentional about assembling themselves with believers. And according to church history, it's been on the first day of the week is the main assembling day. And there's many things that be brought out about this. But one of the things it says in verse 24, but let us consider one another. There goes another thinking word, mind word. You know, in order to consider one another, you're not going to despise each other because you're taking thought for them. You're thinking about them. You're remembering them. Maybe throughout the week, you know, when we think about brothers, you know, maybe think, you know, Brother Colby, you know, he's got some, I think that last brothers meeting, you know, he was off his rocker on that thought, or he was too strong there, or he was too soft there, or whatever. Well, as we consider that, maybe pray for that and, you know, pray for Brother Colby. And then when we come, how to provoke him unto good work? How could I communicate this to a way, you know, in a way that would help him overcome that struggle or help him, you know, and to consider them. Or maybe there's a sense in which you know a brother's struggling. You know, he's struggling with a sin or a temptation that he's just going through, and he's confessed that. To consider him and to be intentional about addressing him, not despising him, just casting him aside. To consider one another and to provoke unto love and good works takes premeditative thought many times, if we're going to do it correctly. You know, it's valuable when you have a situation, then a brother comes up and says, you know, brother, I was thinking about your situation this last week. Have you considered this with it? You know, it shows this brother was actually taking time to ponder my situation. You know, of course, maybe some people, you know, don't think about me, you know. But for the most part, that's heart-touching. When a brother actually took time to think about my situation and is trying to figure out a solution to try to help me out. To consider one another. To consider one another is to remember one another and not despise one another, to consider one another. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. First Peter chapter 3. This verse doesn't particularly have these words in direct concept, but they definitely do affect whether we remember or whether we despise. Chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." You know, I think about that word, be courteous. You know, courteous, in order to be courteous, you have to not despise someone. You know, for example, let's say I'm working. Let's say I'm moving some lumber. And then somebody's there and I kind of see him and I need to round this corner. And then I kind of, you know, in order to do that, I need to move my load around. And I know he's there. I can do that in a despising way, or I can do that in a courteous way. I can let them know, hey, brother, I need to get around here. I might need a little bit more room. Would you mind making some room for me? Or I can just say, or I can just do it, you know, and kind of rub his hip and, you know, just go, oh, yeah. Not really say much, just keep going. You know, I got to get busy. He shouldn't have been there. Courteousness, just pondering. What are ways that we can be more courteous to our brethren? You know, I mentioned the thing of rising up, saying hello. When we come into the church house, being intentional of greeting brothers. You know, sometimes when you live in long-term relationship with people, you don't know what everybody's thinking all the time. And especially when you go through difficulties together and you work through things, sometimes you're stronger, but sometimes scars come too. You know, and you kind of don't know, you know, what's that brother's feelings about me right now? And I find it very much a blessing. Some of our brothers there, whenever we had some clashes on issues and we weren't quite agreeing, some of them did such a good job at acknowledging me. And just the fact that they, hey, brother, how are you doing? And, you know, greet you really sets the relationship in a good tone and just a courteousness. A carefulness thinking, when I do something, how does this affect this person? And therefore, a courteousness to love as brethren. So as we go about our week this next week and our life in the future, I just want to encourage us to not despise the Lord, not despise our brethren, but to remember them in our daily life. And to be faithful unto the end. God bless you.